The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You're going to hear all Lent long, Wednesdays and Fridays, the readings are more penitential than the other days. And that's because there's a long tradition, it's actually a holdover from the lectionary from before the Vatican Council, there's a long tradition of doing penance on Wednesdays and Fridays. Why Wednesdays and Fridays? Because Wednesday was the day in which the Sanhedrin convened to condemn Jesus to death by crucifixion. And Friday, of course, is Good Friday, the day Jesus died on the cross. So all Lent long is going to be a little bit more penitential on Wednesdays and Fridays, and you hear that today, with both the first reading in the Gospel telling us the story of Jonah and the repentance of Jonah. And you remember the story of Jonah the reluctant prophet, who was given an impossible task. God sent Jonah to preach repentance in the name of the God of Israel to Assyria, who didn't believe in the God of Israel. Assyria, who had never even worshipped the God of Israel. They had their own gods. They were the last ones that were going to believe in the God of Israel. The Assyrians were known to be cold and harsh and brutal in war, kind of like the ancient Spartans. They were the last people who would ever turn their hearts and believe in the God of Israel. In fact, the Assyrians were the arch enemy of Israel. So it was mission impossible. No wonder Jonah wanted to run away. You know, the story of Jonah and the whale. Won't get into that this morning. But he finally ends up in the capital of Assyria, in Nineveh, and the reluctant prophet reluctantly walks through the capital city and preaches repentance. And lo and behold, the people repent. You know, when God wants something to happen, it happens. 120,000 people, from the nobility all the way down to the peasantry, they all repent in sackcloth and ashes. It was genuinely a miracle. There'd be another miracle of repentance, another sign of Jonah, and that happened after Jesus rose from the dead. When the apostles went out to all the nations of the world, you know, they went up into the hinterlands north of the Alps, and they went out to the Roman Empire, and they went to North Africa, and they say that the Apostle Thomas went as far as India, and they preached the God of Israel to people who had never heard of the God of Israel. And lo and behold, these people who had worshipped Zeus and Thor and all the pantheon of gods from Hinduism, and they heard the words of the prophets, and they converted, and they repented. It was genuinely a miracle. It was the sign of the prophet Jonah. And Jesus says, this generation is an evil generation. No sign will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. That's what he's talking about, of course, is the repentance of all the peoples. But when Jesus says it's an evil generation, or whenever Jesus uses that phrase, this generation, it harkens back to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. The evil generation was that generation that followed Moses out of Egypt, but they wouldn't give their hearts to God. They didn't enter into the promised land because they wouldn't repent. They wouldn't give their hearts trust to God. And so he's likening them in their unrepentance to that generation, and we're supposed to take that and wonder whether that applies to us as well. So the message today is one of repentance. And when I talk about repentance, you know, almost immediately the question arises in people's minds, well, gosh, what on earth do I have to repent of? Look at me, I'm in church on a Wednesday morning. I'm just so good. What on earth could I possibly have to repent of? Well, the answer now is the same as the answer then. It's the same as it's always been. The repentance that we need to give to God is the giving of our whole heart to God. We're so ready to do external practices and so reluctant to actually surrender the one thing that God really wants, and that is our heart. So what does it mean to repent? It means to turn away from, well, first of all, from sins that you're not really all that sorry for committing and that you'd commit again if you got the opportunity. It means to repent from graces that have been received and squandered. It means to repent of love that we should be giving wholeheartedly to God and to others, but instead we're giving it half-heartedly, parceling it out, rationing it, and giving it in fractions. It means to repent of the grudges that we still won't let go of in our hearts. And it means to repent of the worry and the anxiety that all of us have multiple times a day, all day long, that reveal that we don't really yet believe that God is in control of all of this, right? We have to continue to repent. There's very few people that have given their whole heart over to the Lord. And the call to repentance goes out once again here in the first week of Lent because we need to hear it. You know, Psalm 51 was our psalm response for today. Psalm 51 was written by King David after he committed his sin with Bathsheba. The most sincere prayer of repentance found anywhere in the Bible. And perhaps no words are more applicable to us than these. A clean heart create in me, O God. Renew within me a steadfast spirit. Let's continue this spirit of repentance until those words become our own. And we'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that. Saint Casimir, pray for us.